This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Is Sky Blues Extra.
Hello and welcome to the Sky Blue Extra podcast, which is kindly sponsored by the Sky Blue Tavern. My name's Matt and I'll be your host this evening, and I'm pleased to be joined tonight by Andy. How are we doing, mate?
Evening, Matt. Are you okay?
Yeah, all good, all good. Right, we'll jump straight into it. Obviously, plenty to go through this evening. We're still navigating their way through two more away games over the last few days, making trips to Luton Town and then that familiar journey over to St Andrews to take on Birmingham City. So, Andy, we'll obviously start with that Luton game on Wednesday night. With the starting lineup, have been rumours of a potential shift to a flat back four. Obviously, defensively, it hasn't really clicked so far for us this campaign. So obviously a few rumours going around that we might make a few changes, but ultimately Mr. Robbins is stuck with the back three. That's obviously served him well for the 5 years he's been back at the club. What were your thoughts? Is a flat back four something you'd be quite interested to see? Or are you happy for us to persevere with that three centre-back option?
I can't see him changing it, to be honest, Matt. He's got wing backs, has he? He's been Bidwell, Dabo, Kane. Obviously, we could do with another left wing back, couldn't we? But and I know we are a little bit light on centre halves, but the thing is, we don't. You know, if you're going to change the system, what do you change it to? You know, 4-3-3. We don't play with wingers. 4-4-2. We don't play with wingers. We haven't got wingers at the club, really, have we? In my opinion, I would stick with the three. I think it's a formation that Robbins loves. I don't think he will change it. I would only change to a back four unless we didn't have three fit centre-halves to play, if that answers your question.
I guess that's probably the question, because with the sale of Haim, I think people are a little bit maybe concerned with the depth that we have in that position. And potentially it sounds, like you say, a bit counterproductive to take somebody out of a defence that is struggling. You know, maybe you could stick somebody into the midfield areas, but no, I completely agree. I think obviously it's not really likely that Mark Robbins is going to change here, as long as he's got those viable options. But another area of the pitch where we did see a few changes from the game before was obviously up front, where we saw the return of Gyökeres and Godden, and it took less than a minute for one of those guys to be heavily involved with a golden opportunity, obviously, to open the scoring. Long ball out of defence, and Gyökeres initially, I thought, did quite well to make his way in behind the defence of Luton Town, but ultimately he slashed his shot wide of the goal, didn't even force a save out of Horvath in the Luton stick. So what are your thoughts? Got to be scoring those, haven't you?
You have. Like you said, I agree with you, Matt, that he really angled his body beautifully to get away from the player.
Yeah,
He did everything right but finished, didn't he, Matt, really? he looked strong, but he just scuffed it a little bit, and he's got to be hitting the target there. Yeah, he's got to be putting us 1-0 up there. Yeah, definitely. And he knew that. You could see his reaction after the after missing. He was, you know, really annoyed with himself, wasn't he? So, you know, it was a bad miss, but maybe it came a little bit too early to him, didn't it? It was the really first, you know, first minute of the game, wasn't it? So it was perhaps he just snatched it a little bit.
Interesting point, actually. It's not something that I've thought of, but I certainly think it's a relevant factor. Obviously, it was pretty much straight from the off. So, yeah. You know, maybe there is that element of, you know, needing to ease himself into the game. Do you think, actually, as a maybe another point with Gyökeres, you know, obviously a fantastic player. He's pushing 20 goals for the club last season and, you know, well on his way to potentially doing the same again this year, and an established international footballer now. But a bit of an instinctive footballer as well. You know, he's one of those, if you give him a shot from 20 yards out, 15 yards out with a defender in the way, he's somebody you could see putting it in the back of the net. But maybe, I don't know, any thoughts that he might be one of those who struggles if he's got a bit too much time to think about things?
A lot of good strikers do, don't they?
Yeah.
When they've got time about it, they miss, don't they? So, yeah, there's probably a bit of heat to that suggestion. Yeah, I think a lot of good, decent strikers, if they do it instinctively, they score. And like anything in life, if you think too much about something, you mess it up, don't you, Matt?
Yeah, exactly. A bit of a instinctive nature taking over. And it's obviously something that, you know, hopefully can add to his game, because we've seen a few of those examples already this season. But just to obviously compound that misery, Luton obviously went straight up the other end of the pitch and grabbed the opener on 3 minutes with Carlton Morris slashing the ball past Ben Wilson in the Coventry goal. Thoughts on this one, Andy? Not obviously the best defensive moment for us again, and particularly Fankati Dabo struggling with his clearance.
Yeah, shocking by Dabo. Yeah. It was awful. Sunday league stuff that was from Dabo. It was just didn't deal with it, did he? He just threw a leg at it and then it fell to the lad, who did finish it really well, by the way. That was a great finish. Flash pass Wilson before he got fingertips to it. He did well to get fingertips to
he
it.
He did, yeah.
And but no, dreadful by Dabo, just not clearing the lines. And like I say, got to be doing better than that. You know, that's just basic errors, which this season, unfortunately, has been our downfall, hasn't it?
I was going to say, across the defence in general, and obviously we're picking out Dabo in this occasion because it was one of his moments, but does seem to be a bit of a trend, unfortunately, at the moment, with just a little bit of a lack of concentration at the back end. I think, obviously, what we're seeing in the Championship compared to maybe League One and League Two, you can't have those moments. You will get punished, and we've unfortunately seen that on 13 occasions already this season, a shame to see, but fortunately City obviously kept that threat going down the other end. And there's that man Gyökeres, who was pivotal to most of the good things coming City's way. Obviously, we've mentioned that opportunity early on, which, as Andy mentioned, largely he's created himself. Another opportunity from a header just after the Luton goal, which he has forced to save, but probably could have done a little bit better. But eventually, and I say eventually, it came in the 11th minute, but eventually he has grabbed the equaliser, and it's probably the trickiest of the three chances. Give us a little run through of the goal, Andy, and obviously, more than anything, that unbelievable assist from Ben Sheaf.
Yeah, pass of the season so far by Sheaf. It was,
if that's De Bruyne, it's never getting replayed. It's never going to be stopped being replayed, is it?
It had some side check on it as well, didn't it? It was just absolutely beautiful. It was like a beautiful chip shot on the fairway of St Andrews. It was just awesome how it just, you know,
curled
on the
away,
half
didn't it,
volley,
the last minute
curled
the
away, and it was just, that's above the level, Matt.
Yeah,
that kind of ability, and he has got that in his locker, and fantastic. Like I said, I don't think that will be beaten all season regarding assist wise. And Gyökeres got onto it and finished really, really well. Like we know he can. He did have a little bit less time to think about this one. The keeper came rushing over him and he lifted it over him really well, didn't he? So very, very good goal, and just what we needed at that time in the game, because after going 1-0 down and the run we'd been on, we needed a tonic, and that was the perfect one.
It was indeed, but unfortunately, again, the defensive woes struck just 4 minutes later with that man, Carlton Morris, grabbing a second to put Luton back in front at 2-1. A little bit of credit, obviously, to Luton for the goal. It was particularly a nice through ball off out from Harry Cornick. Met the run well of Morris, and it was well taken, probably semi-similar to the Gyökeres finish as well. But Andy, from a City perspective, more defensive woes, really.
Yeah, it's Fads this time, wasn't it? He like got eased off the ball, and then he didn't react to the situation very well after doing that. I don't normally associate Fads doing that. He's normally very aggressive.
Yeah.
He normally wins his duels very well. So a bit of out of character. I think he just got himself in a bit of a mess. And then he was complaining after the goal went in that he got fouled, which was just absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. It was just all a little, again, individual error by Fads, and not something that you would relate to Fads. He's normally very good at those kind of things, and he wins most of the duels he has. So a strange one from him. But I will say, you know, after that, I thought the goal was pretty well taken. You know, after that situation, I thought the ball was pretty neat and the finish was good again. But no, Fads has got to do better there, and he knows that. Yeah.
I think it kind of follows on that point in terms of you will get punished at this level. If you, you step off for a second, you are going to see that quality, because probably in League One and League Two, you could get away with that and probably don't concede a goal. But completely agree. It's, you know, I think we all will admit that Fads has got a mistake in him, unfortunately, but it's generally not on the strength side of things.
No, it's not. No, it's normally someone running past him or a side ball down the side. Putting his gloves on towards the end of the game. But no, normally he's good at his duels, and he normally wins them really well. So I was surprised at that one.
It was unfortunate, and obviously not what anybody would have wanted to have seen shortly after, with Robbins being forced into a change on the half hour. Michael Rose picking up what we now know to be a groin injury, which obviously saw an early introduction for Jonathan Panzo, who obviously got 60 minutes of a run out of this game. So give us your thoughts on Panzo here. Obviously, he's kind of dissected some of the fan base. Obviously, a few people think he's maybe not been up to full speed. He obviously hasn't played regularly for Forest over the last season or so, but there is obviously a good amount of the fan base who feel he should be one of the first names down on the team sheet, and he did well, didn't he?
Yeah. I don't quite understand why he got dropped. I know Doyle came in that time, and he had a really good game against Preston, didn't he?
Yeah.
But Panzo, for me, he's been good. He was really good first game of the season against Sunderland, and you know, he was really good in pre-season as well. Scored a few goals in pre-season, if I remember right.
He
needs to be playing most weeks if he's fit. I don't quite understand what... I know Doyle came in and did really well against Preston, but I think, you know, for me, I think the calibre of the player, you know, I think he needs to be playing most weeks, in my opinion. He's strong, gives you a bit of a presence, gives you that balance on the left-hand side. Which we need, and it gives you that strength, doesn't it? And pace as well. He's quick as well. So, he needs to be playing most weeks, in my opinion. I think we look stronger with him in the team or without him. I think without him, we've been leaking goals quite a lot. So I prefer him in the team. And the last couple of days, you know, he obviously played half a game against Luton, and then he played against Birmingham, and we've conceded less goals, haven't we? So.
Yeah, that's right. We've actually not conceded since he took to the pitch as a first half substitute. And personally would agree, I think if we're to do kind of well in a defensive manner, at least up until January, which is probably when we're likely to bring in any reinforcements in, it's likely that it's going to be on the basis of Panzo and Doyle, I think, actually both stepping up by the looks of things at the moment. So,
because Doyle shifted over to the right, didn't he?
He did,
yesterday. He did pretty well there. So
probably felt a bit more comfortable over that side.
Maybe, yeah. I think them two need to step up. And if they do, yeah, that would be a good situation, because they're two excellent players. They both played at England level as well. So they've got potential to be very good players. So, I think we need to start playing them more than less.
Yeah, if we can get them into the team and obviously get them up to speed, it's only going to bring good things for the side. And with the game going in at halftime, 2-1 to Luton, but City did seem to come out in the second period with a bit between their teeth, took it to Luton a bit, but realistically without creating too many clear-cut chances, I felt in the first 15-20 minutes of that second half, which is potentially why Gustavo Hamer took it upon himself to take range from all of 35 yards out. And obviously we all now know the rest is history. Produced an exquisite finish to tie the scores at 2 apiece. And I don't know how you feel, Andy. This, for me, felt like a timely reminder for Hamer in terms of reminding the fans and potentially some people within the club of what he can actually bring to the team.
Yes, but he has been poor And Robbins is, he had good management that wise by Robbins, because he had a go at him. I think it was probably after one of the games before the Luton game, and he had a go at him in the in his aftermath press conference, and he was saying to that he said that Heyman needs to step it up. He hasn't been good enough, and he doesn't normally out his players, Robbins, but he did with Heyman that week, and Heyman responded really well. His goal was absolutely fantastic. He's got that in his locker, and his all-round performance was good as well. And I just wish he would shoot more often, to be honest, because he's got that in his locker a lot of the time. Sometimes he looks for that pass, or which he, again, has got in his locker as well. But yeah, he's got such a good shot on him. If he just uses it a little bit more, he'll score a lot more goals.
Yeah.
So, but no, he responded really well to Robbins' criticism, which was good.
Yeah, I think good point. I think Robbins is quite picky about who will criticise.
He doesn't throw people under the bus a lot, Matt. And I was surprised he did that, but he must know that Gus can take it. And you've got to know your players, haven't you, when you're doing that?
Absolutely.
And Enos must know that maybe Gus needed a little bit of a rocket to get the best out of him.
And it's certainly worked with that equaliser. And obviously both teams, from watching the game, looked like they felt they could pick up a winner in those last 20, 25 minutes or so. But maybe the game lacked a little bit of quality in terms of creating that final clear-cut opportunity. But there was still to be one final big talking point, of course, with just under 10 minutes to go, with, as we've previously mentioned, Fads not only appearing to handle the ball, but making one of the saves of the season so far. Clear penalty?
Yeah, definitely, Matt. It was... I don't know, the ref must have not seen. It must have been the other side or something. But I think
that's the thing, isn't it? It's the kind of position against where the Fads is diving away from the ref. So it's a poor decision. We can't get away from it. But if we're maybe giving him a little bit of a lifeline, it's, you know, on the field of play with a few players and the player himself kind of in the way of the decision. It's maybe not the easiest one to make, but I did want to get your thoughts as well. I don't know if you managed to hear some of Nathan Jones's post-game comments calling it a disgrace. And
I posted on our Twitter page.
Yeah,
you know, I saw it all. Yeah, don't worry about that. But he whines about anything, doesn't he? So, you know, there's no, you know, he'd whine on it if it was a sunny day in Ibiza. So, you know, it's not different to him. Whatever happens, he was going to moan. But yeah, he has every right to moan. But it's funny, you know, with his squeaky voice. It's quite funny when he starts moaning. It's, you know, I find it hilarious. But
and also very selective. You seem to recall them getting a couple of decisions over the last couple of seasons as well, which
against us, yeah, for them,
probably
yeah,
a bit dubious, but didn't seem to be as squeaky on those occasions as you as you nicely put it. So
no, but I'm sure he'll get over it. It's not a problem. But yeah, it was a pen. Fad's got away with one, but maybe that's the look we deserve after the opening weeks we've had of this season.
Absolutely. A little bit of luck, which helped us to that 2-2 full-time score. And obviously a point that probably at the start of the season against a Luton side had done so well last season, and obviously on the back of last season's 5-0 hammering, probably wouldn't have felt the worst to City fans, even though we are obviously needing a win at the moment. But just time to get your thoughts on a man of the match from this one, Andy.
I've got to go with Heymer. I thought his overall performance was good, and his goal was just sublime. Beautiful, beautiful goal, curled into the top corner. So, yeah, he's my man of the match, Mel.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
And from there, it was another road trip for the Sky Blues as they went straight on to their sixth away fixture from the first seven games of the season. And it was that familiar trip over to St Andrews to take on Birmingham City. Former City man John Eustace obviously taking the reins there now. Andy, again, talk us through the team here. Just the one change from the side that started against Luton, with it obviously becoming an enforced change with Panzo coming in for Rose, but perhaps a start that his performance at Kenilworth Road would have earned him anyway.
Yeah, I was happy with the team when I saw it. You know, I looked at Twitter at 2 o'clock and I thought, yeah, no, that's as good as it gets at the minute for me. Yeah, I was really happy with the team, Matt. I thought it was good. Nice and solid. Yeah, I like that.
Nice and solid. And a few options back on the bench as well, which was good to see, and a few on their way back, which is obviously encouraging as well. And City certainly had the better at the opening stages, but again, probably lacked that little spark to create too many clear-cut opportunities. And it was actually the hosts who threatened most early on with a chance coming from the left-hand side. Chong making a really good run on the wing and obviously turning the ball back into the area. She was met perfectly by the run of Janino Bakuna, who fortunately, obviously for his Coventry fans, managed to smash the ball over the bar from just 5 yards out. This is a massive let off for us, wasn't it, Andy?
Huge. How's he missed?
It's pretty bad, isn't it?
It was awful. Yeah, he's got quite a good technique because he takes most of their corners and free kicks, doesn't he? So
he was pretty instrumental in the assists. Obviously, it was Hogan hat-trick at West Brom, but yeah. I think pretty much two or three of them all came from Bakuna, and really good assist as well. So as you say, a really technical player. And I think everybody, when he saw he was the man running onto it, probably was assuming the worst at that moment.
Yeah, it was a shocking miss. I don't know how he's missed it, to be honest, but... Again, the look we deserve, well, the look we earn a little bit, but, you know, yeah, he definitely should have put the Blues 1-0 up. Yeah, 100%. It's a dreadful miss.
Not too many chances, really, in the first half at either side, but focusing on Coventry, obviously, perhaps more in terms of long-range efforts coming in, particularly from midfield with Gus Hamer and Jamie Allen as well. Obviously, we can probably understand it with Hamer, who's on a high after that goal against Luton, but... not really testing the keeper too much with too many of these efforts. But just touching on maybe a bigger question here, Andy. Obviously, last season, one of the areas we I think it would be fair to say we struggled was goals from midfield. We know that, you know, Gyökeres and Godden both chipped in with a decent number themselves. We actually did end up with quite a few goals from defence as well, with Liam Rose and McFadzean all getting multiple goals. And it was really that midfield area where we struggled to get on the score sheet. And O'Hare kind of started to make a bit of headway towards the end of the season, but possibly that was the area which really kind of halted our push to be a serious contender for the playoffs. Is that something you think we've particularly addressed in the pre-season? Do you think that's an area we're still going to struggle this season, or is there maybe a bit of optimism that obviously potentially when O'Hare comes back as well, this is something where we can hopefully improve on this season?
I don't think we've addressed it. No, I think it's the same as what we had last season. Depends on O'Hare when he comes back, because I expect him to score a few more this season and assist more as well.
And I think that's potentially more the thing in terms of kind of the development of certain players as well, because, you know, it is still relatively a young midfield there with Hamer, Sheaf and O'Hare all in their early to mid-20s. So there is still ground for them all to improve. And I think in particular, O'Hare is obviously missing at the moment. Yeah. We know he had a number of gilt-edged chances last season, but did seem to start putting that right towards the end of the campaign. So fingers crossed. And obviously we have brought Palmer in as well.
We'll get on to Palmer maybe later. But definitely from O'Hare, I expect him when he comes back and gets up and running, he can score more goals. If Hamer starts getting his shooting boots on and don't get sent off stupidly, and he's on the pitch more than the rest of the night, he's got the ability to score goals. But again, I think that's an area that we need strengthening, Matt, if I'm being honest. I do think we need and will need more goals from midfield if we want to be pushing up the league,
It's hard to predict.
If you want to be getting into the playoffs, Matt, that's what I'm talking about. You know, if you want to be getting into those playoff spots, you need someone who's getting 10-plus from midfield.
Well, you need goals from everywhere, don't you? And obviously, we last season, as we say, you know, defence and attack weren't really an issue, but midfield was a real struggle. I know it's difficult to predict, obviously, at this stage of the season. We do still have a few months to go until the next transfer window, and it seems like Robbins probably isn't the biggest fan of free transfers. Do you think it is an area we potentially would address it in January, or were you thinking it's probably going to be all focused on the defence with whatever little resources we have?
Probably defence, I would have thought, Matt. I don't think he's going to strengthen. But then again, I don't know. It depends on Palmer, because obviously he needs to step up now. Because it depends on what Robbins does, because he might go with Eccles, but if he drops Allen back in with Sheaf, which I expect him to do, and it's going to be out of Palmer and Waghorn, I presume, in that hole. And if Palmer starts, we bought him for a reason. You know, he had a good pre-season. Everyone's pretty excited about him. But the lad, you can't get away from it. He hasn't played a lot of football over the last few years. And is there a reason for that? Is it just bad luck? But now it's time for him to step up, because he needs to start finishing playing 90 minutes, not 60 or coming on for half an hour. He needs to start. We bought him for a reason. And there's no point buying someone and not playing them, or playing them for 10, 15 minutes. He was bought with potential to play. O'Hare's injured. He's O'Hare's replacement, in my opinion. And he needs to step up and start playing and start contributing. Or what's the point of him being at the club?
I think that's probably the surprising thing. When we obviously brought him in, you thought at that stage, you know, before Hamer's injury, it felt like a really good option to bring off the bench to maybe change things around, maybe a bit more of a physical presence than O'Hare. So if we needed to, you know, get into a situation where we needed to have a bit more of a target, a threat up front, where we could, you know, don't want to say launch the ball, but get the ball into those dangerous areas in a bit more regularity, than he was going to be the option. But obviously we know O'Hare hasn't featured at all this season, and probably a bit of a surprise to see that Palmer hasn't really been given that opportunity. Do you think, and it is an important question now with the impending suspension to Hamer, do you think he is going to get that opportunity, or are your thoughts that he's actually going to, or Robbins is going to find another way around the situation?
I think he'll find another way around it. Yeah. I really do. Yeah, I just don't think he trusts him to play 90 minutes, and that's been proven. He hasn't played 90 minutes yet this season, has he?
No, he hasn't. No.
So that proves it. I think he's trying to bed him in slowly, but we can't. The way we are in the league at the moment, we need people of his ability to be playing, you know, and contributing. But if Robbins, you know, wants to go a different way, if he wants to put Eccles in and play Allen still a little bit further forward, then that's fine. But again, is Allen going to get you many goals in that hole? Probably not. We need someone who's geared to be playing in that hole, and that's what Palmer was brought into, wasn't it? To replace O'Hare and challenge O'Hare for his position.
You kind of feel like almost, not saying it's a blessing in disguise, obviously, but maybe Robin's hand a little bit more force now might actually feel like he's forced to give him that run out. And obviously, I don't know if it's a little bit of a confidence issue with him. As you say, he hasn't really played much football over the last couple of seasons, but in a situation where, you know, maybe Robbins can give him that kind of arm around the shoulder to say, look, you are going to be an important player for us, certainly over the next few games, and you're going to have that opportunity. Hopefully he can step up and produce something, but obviously still remains to be seen, as you say.
Yeah, the jury's out on Palmer massively. Just because in flashes he's looked pretty decent, to be honest. He hasn't looked awful. He's looked pretty good. But there's just a nagging thing in the back of my head. I'm thinking, well, why isn't Robbins playing him? Why is he not trusting him? You know, why has he not played football, that much football, in the last 2-3 seasons? That kind of thing's in the back of my head. And I'm thinking, well, why did we buy him? If those things are in the back of my head, surely they're in the back of Mark Robbins' head. And it seems to be in the back of his head because he's not playing it.
Yeah, it's an unusual situation. We probably would have expected more game time from him since O'Hare's been out. But as we said,
what I think I bet he wanted to bring him in. He thought, obviously, he knew, obviously, Palmer's situation of not playing much football over the last couple of seasons. He thought, obviously, O'Hare wasn't going to get injured, didn't he? So he probably thought, well, O'Hare will be playing 9 times out of 10 because he normally does, because he doesn't get injured that often. Mm. And he probably thought with Palmer, we'll get him up to speed slowly. And unfortunately, with O'Hare's injury and now Hamer being missing for 4 games, it's like, we can't do that now. It's a difficult one, isn't it? So it's a situation that I'm afraid, because of the situation, he's almost got to step up. Like I said earlier, I'd be interested to see how it pans out.
It potentially does feel, I know it's a bit early to say, but it might be a bit of a make or break situation for him early in his career.
And
obviously might get him on side with the fans, at least if we can see that effort and hard work in there, but remains to be seen. But going back to obviously the Birmingham game from Saturday afternoon, 0-0 at half time, came back in the second half and kind of the exact opposite, maybe, in terms of how commentary came out against Luton. Wasn't really too much to write home about in the whole of the second half.
Dreadful, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was not awful. Really much of the way in opportunities created. And if anything, it was
I thought Villa Southampton was bad on Friday night, but that was just as bad. Yeah, it was awful.
Difficult watch, unfortunately. Yeah, if a goal was going to come, it obviously looked like it was going to come at the other end. And thankfully, somebody who did step up in this game was Ben Wilson, who obviously showcased why he's got nod in recent weeks with what I would say has been comfortably his best performance in a Coventry shirt since coming into the side over the last few weeks, with a string of solid saves in the second half. A few to pick out. First one coming relatively early in the second half, where Scott Hogan, a man in form, obviously, as we mentioned, getting that hat-trick at West Brom, found himself in a worrying amount of space in the City penalty area, and flicked a decent header towards goal, but a really good reaction save, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a really good save. And I'm pleased for Ben Wilson. He's waited his time. Yeah, with the mistakes of Moore, he deserves his chance. I was a massive fan of Moore last season, as you well know.
Yeah.
But the situation with him this season, that he had to be dropped. There was no other choice. Ben Wilson has never really been a first-choice keeper in his whole of his career. So he's got the bit between his teeth now. He sees the opportunity to be number one for the first time. And I think he's playing with that hunger. You can see that, can't you, Matt? That he's playing with that hunger to be number one.
Because
he hasn't been at any club. And he's producing really well. And that save was very, very decent. Very quick reaction save. And it's just not that save. His kicking's good.
Yeah.
You know, his presence, his commanding presence is decent. And if he keeps going the way he is, he'll cement the number one jersey.
It's going to be hard for Moore, isn't it, coming back into that position. Obviously, you mentioned being quite a big fan, and Moore was actually my massive player of the season at the end of last season.
Yeah.
So we obviously held him in really high regard at Sky Blue Extra. But I think you have to agree, it's, you know, impossible not to have given Wilson that chance, really, with regarding the first three games of the season and those mistakes from Moore. And going back to this save, I think probably what makes it really good and probably doesn't, you know, make it stand out as much as it should do. Usually when you're saving from a header, it's a ball coming in from out wide and you kind of get an idea of where that ball's going. You know, a player's going to be ball ahead of them. You know where their head's pointed in and where the ball's going to go. This one's a really difficult one because it's almost a glancing flick off a cross, and it's more just you have really got to guess where the ball's going to go. So a really impressive save from Wilson. But as we've seen throughout his career, you know, maybe he hasn't done it regularly, but we know he's got that ability to pull out some really impressive stops we've seen over his time with the club the last three or four seasons. And what do you think long term with Wilson and Moore, obviously, for the rest of the season? Is it a case of it's now Wilson's to lose, do you think?
Yeah, 100%. I think so. Yeah. I think Robbins is a fan of Wilson as well. I think he likes him, which helps Wilson's favour. I think it's his to lose now. As long as he keeps it solid and doesn't make any stupid errors, I can see him continuing for the most of the season. And that's unfortunate on Moore. You know, like I said, we went over it, like you just said, he was like your player of the season. I think he's up there with one of my player of the season last season. But it's just, he just had a confidence loss, didn't he, that unfortunately had, you know, conceded those errors. And he had to come out of the scene. But unless Wilson makes a rick or does anything stupid, I think it's his shirt to lose, Matt, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you for the time being. And obviously a few more saves from Wilson in that second half. Saw the game seemingly head towards a pretty bland goal of straw, but we were still to receive one big and really the main talking point of the game, obviously with just 1 minute of normal time to go, when that man, Gustavo Hamer, got himself involved again and received a straight red card for kicking out at Birmingham Loney, Hannibal Medjbury. Again, Andy, no real arguments about this decision, are there?
Not really. It's, to be honest, it's a weird one. I've looked over this about 30 times. And I don't know if he meant to kick him or not.
Wow,
but you've given the ref a chance, haven't you? You've given the ref an easy decision.
It's right in front of a referee.
Yeah,
well, isn't
and
it?
It's like he kicks out a little bit. It's not like a boot in the face, but he's the ref's always going to say, you know, he's always going to send him for that, isn't he?
Yeah.
Especially at their ground and they're paying for it, the fans, and with his record as well.
I think that's the thing.
Yeah,
you know, obviously,
he's a
don't know how much the ref might have researched him or been aware of his record, but I think from a Coventry fan point of view and knowing his record, a situation like that doesn't quite feel like an accident when it's Hamer, does it really? Maybe not if it really. Was Sheaf or somebody else, but
with Hamer,
you kind of think it's not too much of a...
Do you think it was because he was blowing? Because Robin said he was really tired and he was going to bring him off, wasn't he? Five minutes before, which he bloody had. Maybe it was because he was really tired, and when you're tired and there's someone all over you and you just got a bit frustrated. I think that was more of what it was than anything.
Do you think also, I mean, Nate, I don't know if this is a concern for me, if you start to see teams are maybe getting that little bit of knowledge and doing their, obviously their reconnaissance on him a little bit before games and thinking he's somebody you can get into his head. I think there were a few incidents with Deeney earlier in that second half, which were winding him up, and a few other bits and pieces. And, you know, whether it was a little bit of smart play from an experienced pro in Deeney, just getting in his head. There were a few touch points in that second half and potentially they've, obviously he's maybe the saving grace for us, it's come in the last minute. So if they're trying to get him sent off, you probably think they'd want to get it done a little bit earlier in the game. But it is obviously moving on in terms of his disciplinary record over his just over two seasons with the club. It is now 24 yellow and 3 red cards, as I say, just over two seasons at Coventry. It's a pretty horrific disciplinary record, I think it's fair to say. Do we think this is something we're just going to have to live with as part of his game, or do you think it's something he can work on, or do you even think it's something that he particularly feels he needs to work on?
Well, he needs to work on it because he's letting people down.
You think about his... He gave a bit of an Instagram post, didn't he, after the red card against Millwall, where he obviously apologised for the situation, he kind of leaned into saying, you know, this is a part of my game in terms of me being able to, you know, have that presence and win the ball back and everything. I need that little bit of bite about me. And I did think then when I saw that, you know, it's something that you feel like he does need to work on, because as you say, quite rightly, he's missing be over 50% of the season by the time this suspension is done that he will have missed now. So he needs to obviously take on that responsibility a bit more as one of the senior and probably the most important player in our team. But I don't know, there's a part of me which just worries maybe he doesn't quite have it in him to feel like he needs to or wants to change that, just because he's maybe concerned about how that might affect his game overall, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I understand that, but it's just the things he gets booked for is not, it's not being, because he's not being, it's just being bloody stupid.
Yeah.
You know, leaving foots in, getting silly yellow cards. Well, that's just stupid. It's not because you're being competitive or, you know, that's just, and like Saturday, that's not being competitive and not getting in the tap. It's just being bloody stupid. And like I said to earlier, I love Gustavo Hamer. He's probably one of the best players I've seen in the last 10 years at the club. But at the moment, what would the situation we're in at the minute, where we're bottom of the league, struggling for points, and now we're missing him for four games, Matt?
Yeah.
You know, that, for what? A mindless kick out. You know, if I was Robbins, I'd fine him, because he's let the club and the fans down. Four games he's missing. We haven't got the squad or the depth to replace it.
Well, this is the point, and I think from a fan point of view, we obviously all feel that same level of frustration and anger, because we're just not in a situation to, you know, obviously have him missing for four games, especially for somebody who's technically our best player. But just even from bodies on the ground and people in the squad, we aren't there at the moment to be losing players. But my concern is, does he think he needs that little bit of bite in his game to be able to do what he does in the rest of the game, as it were? Because, you know, there's obviously signs there in what he's said publicly. In
fans again, fans are getting a little bit fed up with it now.
Yeah.
I think, you know.
You did see that on Saturday.
Yeah, I think everyone was a bit of a turn. I think fans are, you know, yellow cards, you know, everyone used to laugh, always Hamer's yellow card, he's got one again. You know, it's a bit of a yellow card bingo, weren't it? But now, you know, now he's getting sent off and missing four or five games when we need him. Fans, you know, they'll see through that. They're not stupid. And, you know, and there's a bit of a turn. If he keeps getting sent off, then Robin's got a major problem.
It's one thing, as you say, yellow cards. If you pick one game suspension every, you know, 15 matches or something like that, not so bad. But as we say now, it's going to be, by the time he comes back, I do think it's over 50% of the season he will have missed just purely through suspension, not through unavoidable injuries or anything of that nature. It's and both situations were avoidable. Obviously, the Millwall game, I feel like most people would agree, it probably directly affected us coming when it did, and almost certainly cost us points in that game. Probably a bit more fortunate this time, as we say, it came very late in the game. So
it's going to cost us the next four games.
It's the next few games. It's obviously going to be the problem for us, as you say.
Which is going to be probably worse than losing to Millwall.
Yeah. I mean, for me personally, I felt that was a game that if he doesn't get sent off there, that's directly 3 points that we're obviously not, we're not throwing away there. I think we've comfortably gone on to win the game. But as you say, in this game in particular, whilst Birmingham did put that pressure on, it came late enough where we were able to obviously withstand the pressure and keep that clean sheet and get the point. But unfortunately, as you say, the next four games will be to be seen at this stage. And obviously, hopefully they can.
Who would you play, Matt? Midfield
three. Yeah, I mean, I think I probably would drop Alan back myself.
And would you play him Palmer the whole, Palmer, yeah.
I just think we've brought him into the club for a reason. And we know he has got a certain level of pedigree. It's not like, as you say, in pre-season, he wasn't performing badly. He was probably one of the more exciting players. And whilst he probably hasn't fully carried that form into the league so far, as we say, he hasn't really had a full 90 minutes or one or two games where he's been able to get into a bit of a rhythm, which is why I feel almost, again, by no means a blessing in disguise what's happened. We would obviously take it back in a heartbeat, but hopefully if it is almost forcing Robin's hand to give him a bit more game time, situation whereby he can, he can get into his rhythm hopefully a bit more and you know, hopefully produce some of that form that, you know, we were all hoping to see off the back of his pre-season performances. But yeah, how about yourself? What would you do?
Yeah, I'd go with that. I said earlier about Palmer, I think it's time for him to step up.
Not too many other options as well, is
it? No, there isn't. And I think, we'll force Robbins' hand because of obviously what's happened here. And it's, it's exciting. Let's see what he can do. You know, like you said, he was good in pre-season. And, when he's come on, he's looked okay. He hasn't looked awful. So, let's give him, give him 60, 70 minutes, run him into the ground and then you can bring someone else on afterwards, get Eccles on, with 30 minutes to go. But let's give him a couple of games and see what he can do. Interesting. I'm excited to see what he can do because no one's seen it yet.
It will be good to see what he can do with the run. Important to mention as well, actually, with the fact of the international break, but with it being four games and how far that is going to go, we're talking about a month's time. We're actually probably talking about a period of time where we might be seeing the return of a few players as well. But they'll obviously still need to work their way back into full fitness once they're, training fully as well. So whilst we might have O'Hare in and around the squad and available, I think there's still that opportunity for Palmer to, grab the ball by the horns and show us what he could do. But unfortunately, with this one, the red card is going to mean a four-game suspension for Hamer, but it didn't cost us too much, and we were able to hold on for that 0-0. And another relatively decent away point for the Sky Blues here. So, Andy, again, give us your man of the match for this one.
For me, Matt Ben Wilson. Yeah. I thought he made really good saves at important times.
Yeah.
And as a goalkeeper, that's all you can be asked of. And I think he played really, really well. And he's started to win me over. I think he's looking very solid, and that's good to see.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
Now, with no games to preview for the next couple of weeks due to an international break, it does give us a great opportunity to look at some of the important topics that are circling around the club at present. So, Andy, let's dive into a few of these. And obviously, first up, we talked about the defence in a bit of detail across the last two games, but just looking at it as an overall, it is now 13 goals, as we say, across the first seven games of the season. Defensive woes compounded by that sale of Higham late in the window, and obviously Robbins had been keen to bring somebody in, but as we know, Brexit, the gift that keeps on giving, has put paid to that one, unfortunately. Robbins has been vocal in the last week or so talking about the fact that he doesn't really seem keen on bringing in anybody on a free transfer before January. So it is looking ever more likely that this is going to be what it is, really, until that transfer window comes up. So I wanted to get your thoughts on that. Now, obviously, we've heard his thoughts in a bit more detail. Is that something you understand? Obviously, you know, it does take free agents a bit of time to get up to speed in terms of the fact they haven't been playing. Or for you, is it a case of getting bodies into the club and obviously just giving more options in the back?
It's a difficult one, isn't it? Because you don't want to just sign someone for the sake of it. And I think that's what Robin's is trying to say, isn't it? You know, he said that they're free for a reason. And you have to remember, Matt, that if they are free and they haven't been playing football, how long is it going to take them to get up to speed? You know, a lot of these free agents aren't going to have a pre-season under their belt, is it? Are they?
Well, yeah, none of them really.
No, so how long is it going to... You can't just drop someone in and say, you know, play 90 minutes for us. It doesn't work that way, you know. So I can't see anyone coming in at the moment. Would I like to see someone come in? Yes, because we're so short. But that was what they were looking to do with that signing that failed, wasn't it? Because of because he didn't play enough at the top level.
Too much, didn't he? He got relegated.
Then his points took off him. Yeah. And that's a shame because he looked a decent lad, didn't he? He looked had some potential, which was a real shame for us. But I think regarding this situation, you know, in an ideal world, I'd love to bring a couple in at the back because we need it. Because if we get a couple of injuries at centre half, especially, and also left wing back, I don't know what we're going to do. You know, if Bidwell gets injured, who's going to play left back, left wing back?
I think this is the point. I can understand personally Robin's kind of comments in terms of a free transfer, as you say. You know, they are free transfers for a reason. It's a valid point, and they are going to take time to get up to full speed. But we are almost in that situation now where you're looking at it and you're thinking, one more defensive injury and we are really screwed. So I don't know, difficult one, as you say, but it probably looks now, unless, and you never know with Robbins, he's pulled a few tricks on us in the past, but.
But what that to it. That question, who would play instead of Bidwell if he got injured?
Panzo, I think is what people have said. Yeah. So you're probably then taking somebody out of the centre back position.
But he's not a left wing back, is he?
It's not his natural position, but it's probably the area the only of cover one. That we've got at the minute. And then you're starting to kind of potentially play people out of position, even more extreme, because I think Panzo's known as being able to do a job over in that part of the pitch, but it's certainly not his natural position. But more than anything, as you say, it's almost, you feel like with Panzo, maybe with Doyle, we're starting to get hopefully a little bit of stability in that centre-back position. Yeah. You don't want to see, you know, Bidwell get injured, as you say, and then have to not only play somebody out of position at left wing back, but also, you know, mess up that consistency that we're hopefully starting to see at centre back. So that for me is why, obviously, a couple of situations we know with the transfer who's not coming, but with Adam Arola as well, who you know, I think a lot of us probably felt when he did go, that was
exciting, that situation at the start. Yeah. I thought he would be a really good signing. He just didn't settle, did he?
Didn't settle. And I thought, you know, because he probably hadn't settled as people expected, I think a lot of people thought it was our decision to let him go back, but it transpires that it was actually Palace recalling him because he hadn't played enough game time. So obviously you take the situation with the signer we've not been able to get in and the fact that Adam Arola has gone back, and it really starts to highlight what Robbins is dealing with here, because we know he's at least two players short of even having a decent, well-rounded number of options at the back. So difficult one, and, you know, hopefully probably a little bit fortunate actually with international breaks and obviously impending tournaments and everything else coming up that we're going to have a few breaks before we get to
January. Yeah, I've been saying that, Matt. How many games have we got to play in the next?
There's a few.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
So it's going to be. We hope that injuries don't, you know, but I suppose that's looking in too far in advance, but it is a little bit worrying looking at our squad and the depth that these are glutch of games coming after this international break. Mm-hmm. If we get like one or two injuries, like we are in serious trouble.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I just got to try and hope for the best that we can get to the World Cup or whatever happens to the break or whatever happens, you know, and we can, without any injuries, because if we do get to some injuries, we're in deep trouble.
Yeah, certainly clinging on at the moment, and it's not ideal. And I think, you know, we can all see Robbins has been dealt a pretty bad hand on this one. Maybe a bit more positive news in terms of some of the existing injuries that we do have, and we touched on it earlier on. Obviously, Liam Kelly and in particular Callum O'Hare seem to be close to making a return to the squad, which obviously will now come after the international break. Don't know exactly how long it will come after that international break, but obviously positive news because, you know, initially, certainly again with O'Hare, rumours that he might not have been seen before the World Cup. So for you, and we talked earlier, obviously, about kind of that spark in terms of lacking, you know, maybe something to be able to create those real clear-cut opportunities. How massive, and it seems like an obvious question, but how massive in particular is O'Hare returning to this team going to be?
Huge, absolutely massive. He's pivotal to how we play, not just his forward play, but the way he works back for the team. Mm-hmm. He's the best in the league at doing that. He's pivotal to what we do. You've seen it, the way we've struggled without him.
Yeah.
He's not just his play on the pitch, it's his, you know, aura around the dressing room. He's brilliant around the dressing room. He's a live wire, gets everyone going. He's a bit of an iconic figure at the moment for the Sky Blues, and we've badly missed him. And like you say, he just so resembles this season and how unlucky we've been that he hardly gets ever injured, does he? And now he gets a massive tear of his hamstring, you know, that he's probably never had ever in his career. So it just kind of like sums our season up so far. But let's try and stay positive, which we always try to do on this channel. And I think get him back and get him firing. And he's massive to us, Matt. And if we can get him back soon and get him up to speed, yeah, he's going to be like signing a brand new 10 million player.
Well, as I was about to say, it's one of those things, kind of the old cliche, but him coming back is going to be like a high profile signing, which, you know, whenever it does happen, it's going to boost the club, going to boost the fans. You know, it's going to boost everybody, and it's almost certainly going to be a home game as well, because it pretty much is going to be home games around that period of time. So let's hope that obviously has.
When's he going to be back, Matt? Do we know? I know I've looked at a few things. It's not, like I said, after the international break, but I don't think it's going to be straight after that, do you?
Well, yeah, I mean, he was quite ambiguous again, Robbins, in terms of saying, you know, when he'll be back. He just said it's positive in that he's going to be back ahead of schedule, and it's going to obviously be back a lot sooner than we thought after the international break. So I don't think it will be, you know, the first game or two, because he's obviously got to get up to speed, and, you know, we might see him kind of ease back into the fold a bit. But yeah, probably 2-3 games after the international break, I think we're looking at him being involved at least again. Brilliant. Maybe not starting, which is why we've talked about Palmer as well, because I still think there is going to be an opportunity for him to get, you know, 2-3 games under his belt, and obviously it can be massive for us. But but yeah, looking obviously positive, and him being back earlier than predicted initially. And obviously we will mention Liam Kelly as well, you know, with the situation with Hamer ongoing as it is at present, and really kind of not being able to predict when he might be able to get a good run of games. So what are your thoughts there? Obviously Liam's been at the club and he's been a fantastic servant for a number of years now, but he is obviously over 30 now, so he's what we would consider on the downward scale. But how important do you think he might be for the rest of the season?
Yeah, we're a big fan of Kells on this podcast, and yeah, he's vital for his leadership, his quality in front of the back three will be, you know, has been missed. You know, but it's just his injury record recently has been torrid, hasn't it? Bless him. And I feel for him, because when he does play, we look good. And but yeah, like you say, he's making his way back. I think he's on the grass now, as Robin says. So hopefully it won't be too long until, and we could do with him, because not just because of his play, his leadership qualities. Him and Fads are the main two big leaders, aren't they, of our team? And to have them playing will only benefit us, and to have him around the squad and the team in the match day area would really benefit us.
Almost feels more important than actually the playing side of things in a way at the moment, because it does feel like, you know, those kind of voices maybe are being missed at some certain moments of game. So hopefully, fingers crossed, with Liam Kelly coming back in as well. And just finally, before we wrap up this evening, good opportunity again before the international break to have an honest assessment of the first period of the season. Obviously a shorter one for the Sky Blues against their championship rivals, so a bit difficult to compare fully against the rest of the division. Of course, I don't think anybody's going to say it's been a great start to the season with us sitting bottom of the table and winless in those first seven games, but also trying to put a little bit of a positive spin on there. It is three draws from six away games. And you look at those three other games that we've lost, obviously Norwich aside, two of the games, really, there were opportunities there for us to get points and we haven't really been blown out and out of any of those other games other than the Norwich one. But again, can't get away from the fact that we are winless seven games into the season. So Andy, what are your thoughts seven games in of where we are now in, and maybe a little bit of a, not mid-season, but 25% of the way through season prediction of where you think we might end up?
Well, it couldn't have gone any worse, really, could it, Matt? Let's be honest, with the situation, with everything, which I don't really want to go over because it's just boring. But, you know, it's not been great. But let's try and... there has been, you know, a few shoots of recovery signs over the last couple of games, which I'm hanging on to. You know, before the Luton game, I was really, really worried about our situation. But, you know, the last two games have given me a little bit more hope. I've seen some, you know, good displays. I've seen a little bit of grit, a bit of fight. I know Robbins has mentioned that they had a bit of a chat, didn't they, as a club?
A bit of a clear the air chat,
which never, you know, does them any harm. I think they had one, you know, when we got, I think previously when we got hammered by QPR, you know, the first season we were back at, you know, in the championship, they had a bit of a clear the air chat then. And I think we've had something similar. And you see, you've seen it's definitely worked. The last two games have been good. You know, Luton away is never easy to go to. And you know, Birmingham, you know, they won their last two games before we played them, you know, good wins as well, Preston and West Brom. So, you know, there are shoots of recovery. And I think that's what we've got to hang on to as fans, isn't it, Matt? You know, the Hamer situation doesn't help. It really doesn't help. But, you know, we've got to stick together, you know, as a fan base and as a team, and really try and get out of this situation we're in. This talk of, silly talk of getting rid of Robbins is ridiculous.
Absolutely.
He's the best manager we've had in years. That's not the answer. We have to stick together. We have to get down against Middlesbrough in our numbers at the CBS and back the manager and the team, because that's the only way we're going to get out of this mess, is by sticking together. And if we stick together and we've got the quality to score goals in this team, and if we just defend a little bit better, which we have done in the last two games, we can get results. I'm positive of that.
Well, I think that that rallying call is probably the perfect way to finish this evening's podcast, Andy. You know, not much I can follow up with there, and I agree with, you know, the sentiment. I think, you know, a couple of little tweaks, and obviously a couple of players coming back, and we'll be absolutely fine. I've got no doubt myself as well. So
got to stay positive in life, Matt.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, we'll be okay.
Yeah.
we'll be all right. Okay. Well, that's, as I say, all we've got time for this evening. Thanks to Andy for your time tonight. And again, as always, thank you to everybody for tuning in and giving us a listen. As mentioned, there is a two-week break now until we see the Sky Blues back in action. However, there will be plenty of football in that time. And as ever, the Sky Blue Tavern and Dylan's Brewery are the perfect location to watch all the international action. As always, if you'd like to get involved in the conversation on anything we've discussed, then all you need to do is use the hashtag SBE Podcast.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.